Test.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders, past and present. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a rather large agenda. I won't tarry too much with the formalities. First of all, I'll ask whether any panel member has a declaration of interest to make. No declarations of interest. Thank you. Added on. Background that I can identify with in relation to this panel is that I was a solicitor for 22 years, a barrister for another 10, and then I sat as a judge on the Land and Environment Court for 15 years. And since then, I've been doing various things in the local government area, including being on a number of other panels. I'll ask Mrs. Taylor to identify herself. Thank you.
Mary Lynn Taylor, planning lawyer and a chair of a number of these local panels and a member of the state planning panel.
Mr. Hawkes.
My name is Ken Hawke. I'm a local resident of 40 years standing, and I've also worked in local government planning in the inner city for 40 years as well.
Mr. Stapleton?
Ian Stapleton, I'm a...
Procedure will be... Keeps on going off.
Yes.
If it keeps on going off, I'll just yell. Item number one has 23 people who have listed to speak, and that needs some management. Can I just say this, that the panel, of course, has been made privy to the written submissions that have been made. The panel has been to the site. The panel has read the officer's report, so that the background information that assists them so far will be complementary to what people say to us at this meeting. I just want to also emphasise that repetition doesn't make the point any better. If there's a problem about noise, then there's a problem about noise. We understand what the problem might be from one explanation, and it's not a good use of our time, everyone else's time, and your own time to just repeat the same things over and over again. Now, to that end, very often people get together, and I notice that there is one group that have engaged a single spokesperson. If any of you feel that you would be more comfortable in a situation where you elected a spokesperson to speak for a group for the particular street or building or whatever, then please don't hesitate to do that. And in fact, it may even enhance the presentation that you're trying to make. But don't think that in any way I am trying to break down the opportunities for you to speak. I am not. You will all be given the opportunity to speak, but I do encourage you, if there is an opportunity to speak through a spokesperson for a group with a common interest, then please consider doing that. The first person that I will ask to speak in relation to item number one, which relates to the property 223 Trafalgar Street, Stanmore, is Mr. Gerard Turisi, planner. Thank you, Mr. Turisi. You've got 3 minutes each. There will be a signal which indicates that you're coming to the end of your time or have come to the end of your time, and obviously today I will have to enforce that rule and cut people off once they get to the time. Otherwise, we'll be here to a time that won't suit any of us. Thank you, Mr. Teresi.
Thank you, panel. My name's Gerard Teresi. I'm a consultant town planner, and I act for a number of residents who are concerned about this proposal. I have prepared a submission during the exhibition period on behalf of those residents. Today, I want to focus on four key points: the needs assessment for such a facility, the planner management, the number of lodges within each room, and the parking numbers. Clause 4.6 of the Affordable Housing SEP requires the consent authority to consider an assessment of the community needs for such a facility, that is, a needs assessment. I've asked the panel to note that there is a difference between data that shows misuse of drugs and alcohol in an area versus the need for such a facility. Section 5 of the applicant's SIS identifies providers in the area, but there is no assessment if these facilities are operating at full capacity and therefore the need for this facility. I feel that the officers are focused on the stats of misuse and the benefits rather than the need for another facility, which is the test. It is therefore my submission that this proposal fails in this regard and should be refused. The plan of management is another document which remains unresolved and is critical. To approve a DA to defer for additional information means that a complete assessment cannot be made, and the operational management of this facility is the key to its success and its relationship with adjoining residential properties. The plan of management has many holes within it and raises more questions than answers. For instance, there is no procedural record or process as to how a complaint will be managed, how staff will respond, and how staff members will deal with such complaints. The plan of management says that these will be established. This is not acceptable. I will circulate at the end of my presentation my original submission, where I've highlighted many other areas of concern in terms of the plan of management, and I ask the panel to read these points before making any determination today. This plan of management is not comprehensive and is therefore is inappropriate. The panel would be aware of the relevant Land and Environment Court planning principle that deals with planners' management, and it is my submission that the proposal fails in terms of questions 3, 4, 5, 7 and 8 of that planning principle. To deal with this as a deferred commencement consent is also inappropriate, as the panel needs to be satisfied that the plan of management can work. This is the fundamental test, and it is linked to whether the use is appropriate in this context. The third issue I wish to raise relates to the fact there are several rooms that have 2 to 4 people in a shared arrangement. Although I can't find any specific design requirements for drug and alcoholic rehab centres, there are design guidelines for group home accommodation. These guidelines specify that bedrooms should be occupied by one person. My concern is that a shared arrangement is not an appropriate arrangement given behavioural and or the mental state of the residents. This could raise operational issues which have not been addressed. The issue was raised in my submission and remains unresolved.
You've reached the end of your time, Mr. Teresi.
I only have 30 seconds, Mr. Chair.
All right, well, I'll give you 15.
Thank you. The final issue which I want to raise is car parking. The council relies on the parking requirements under the Affordable Housing SEP under a CDC, which looks at 10 bedrooms, which, as I said earlier, equates to 10 people. This scheme provides for 20, and therefore we submit there's a shortfall of parking. And my final point is, in terms of loading and unloading, is that council also considers that loading and unloading can occur within a vehicle crossing or from the hard stand area. There is no hard stand area for this development, and the actual ability to park between the crossing is limited if the cars are parked on either side of that crossing.
Thank you, Mr. Teresi.
Thank you.
Yes, your hand up. Somebody will take the written statement from you. Simon Critchett. What did I do to deserve that? Simon Critchettakis. I apologise, Mr. Critchettakis, if I got that wrong, but they've given me very small print.
Curfew, no loitering, installation of security cameras, and a minimum of 2 security staff on duty
Finish up, Mr. Christosakis. Thank you.
May I just make reference to my final paragraph?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. In making these suggestions, I refer to the panels of Foundation House at Roselle, which is a 28 drug, alcohol, and gambling residential rehabilitation facility, which requires as strict non-negotiable entry conditions random urine and breath tests throughout the 28-day program. No current or pending court cases.
You didn't tell me how long the paragraph was.
3 months separated from incarceration. At least 5 days clean from all substance abuse. And at least 14 days clean from methamphetamine, buprenorphine, and methadone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are any questions for Mr. Christakis? Thank you, Mr. Christakis. Louise Steer.
Thank you. In the interest of disclosure, I am, in addition to being a lawyer, I am a councillor on Inner West Council, but I'm here to speak in my private capacity as a resident for 30 years in Merton Street, Stanley.
Will someone be disappointed when they don't get clapped?
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the panel. My name is Eva Haley. I'm here to speak on behalf of me and my husband, as well as today. Upon learning of the...
I think your microphone might be off, as there's a button there.
There we go. That sounds better.
Yes.
May I start again? Good afternoon, Chair and members of the panel. My name is Eva Haley, and I'm here with my housemates today. Because upon learning of the development of a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre down the road from our house, my housemates and I began to receive letters from fellow Stanmore residents imploring us to fight its development. We decided then to be present here today in open and proud support of the proposed clinic. The concerns raised regarding the new development are many and varied, as we've already heard and I'm sure we'll continue to hear today. They range from its potential impact on the housing market to increased noise levels and increased criminal activity. However, as is stated in the development assessment proposal readily available through the Inner West Council, these fears are entirely without foundation. This is not a crack den being established in Stanmore or a detox centre. This is a transitional group home. The program, and I quote from the report, is abstinence-based. There will be no drug or alcohol use on the premises, and violations of this rule would result in, quote, the person being removed from the program. The assessment report also addresses restrictions on noise and movement of residents, which would likely make the centre quieter and more controlled than your average residential home. In Section 8 of the report, the conclusion is made that the development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. Members of the panel, having an addiction does not make you a criminal, and addiction is not contagious. Arguments designed to block the development of this rehabilitation centre are based on unsubstantiated fear and do nothing to help change our society for the better. When we shut people with addiction out of our communities, we only defer and exacerbate the real problems of substance abuse, which are so often a product of mental illness, systematic poverty, and social discrimination. Rehabilitation, harm minimisation, and community support are the way forward in addressing these issues, not ostracism. The Inner West is beloved precisely because it has always been a community that welcomes and supports the marginalised and the struggling. From a thriving migrant community to the support of minorities, refugees, the LGBT community, the working poor, the homeless, the mentally ill, initiatives like this rehabilitation centre are integral to the neighbourhood's character. Compassion is integral to the neighbourhood's character, which is precisely why my housemates and I chose to live here in the first place. This is our community's history and its present, and I fear that if we set a precedent of ostracising people in need, our future may look very, very different to the Inner West that we love today. We support the development of this centre wholeheartedly and are proud to keep the traditions of the Inner West alive.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, any questions? Thank you. Everybody gets a go. Ralph Water. Thank you, Mr. Water.
I'm a Stanmore resident, and I'm speaking about for my wife, my six-year-old son, and many other neighbours. I've lived there for over 10 years, and I will still be there when you guys are still long gone. Drug and alcohol addiction is a problem. However, we object to this application for the following reasons. The location is inappropriate. Over 240 drug and alcohol-affected people per year is too many. The applicant has not demonstrated the need for the facility in this location. Council has not taken the objections of the local community seriously and did not provide a balanced view. Put yourself in our shoes, in Maria's shoes. Two underage kids living next door to this place. Imagine that's your family. Would you think it's appropriate? The applicant will claim they are a responsible operator. This is not true. They have not engaged the local community at all in over a year and have provided a subpar plan of management. They are not government accredited, regulated, supervised, and a commercial operation. New South Wales Health is not aware of them. Why? The applicant will claim they have lots of previous experience running such a place. They have not. They have never set up or run a place like this in Australia. The location of the place in America they copy is very different. A huge house with a large garden in a quiet non-residential area. Still, Google reviews are negative. Clearly not everyone with a drug and alcohol problem is a danger to society, but there's a higher rate of criminal activity and mental health issues associated. Relapses are common. That's a fact. They will live under a flight path, next to a busy street, next to a rail line, not the place to recover. 103 individual and 23 group objections were submitted to DA with substantial issues identified. The plan of management is basically a five-page document full of vague and generic statements. This is completely inadequate and shows the approach of the applicant as how they are going to manage the risk associated with this facility. The social impact referral prepared by the council has not one negative comment against the plan of management or social impact comment. The assessment of council is not balanced and not thorough. The applicant has not demonstrated why this facility needs to be in this location. Given the 30-day stay, it could be put in a more suitable location and people could travel there. They will claim that the police do not have an issue with this application. I spoke to the police officer who assessed this, and they were unable to object as they have to support such undertakings and will deal with the fallout once it happens. This is too late for us. 240 people per year, 2,400 in 10 years. The question is not if something will happen, it's when and how often. We demand that this application be rejected. It is the right thing to do by us. If you choose not to, the restrictions must be updated to include that this needs to be put under supervision of a government agency, impose a strong regular community engagement to involve the community in the development of the POM and a seat at the Board of Management, a 12-month trial period. People must be sober and drug-free for a minimum of 4 weeks instead of 72 hours, which is a joke. Qualifications for the people that are hired to work there must be set at a minimum standard, and that standard should be high. Alcohol dependence only, no hard drugs, especially not ice and amphetamines. The size of the people there should be reduced from 20 to 10 to provide facilities that also help them to recover and reduce the risk further and reduce all the other impacts. And we also demand security staff to be there 24/7 to protect us.
Thank you, Mr. Water.
Thank you.
There's some questions for you, Mr. Water. Just a moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Water. I'm wondering the relevance of this building being under the flight path.
Oh, simply, I'm a local resident. I get woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Trust me, I don't like living on the flight path. It is loud. A 747 revving their engines down at 6 o'clock in the morning will make you fall out of bed. I lived there for now 8 or 9 years. It still is loud to me.
If you just come in, it
is incredible. I invite you to come over and spend an afternoon with us. You will.
She's the sort of person who will accept that, Mr. McMahon. Thank you for your assistance. Yes, you can leave a copy if you wish. Ross Hewitt. Thank you, Mr. Hewitt.
Hello, my name is Ross Hewitt, a 20-year resident of Stanmore, very close to the proposed development. Thanks for the opportunity to address the panel in relation to this issue. The DA simply should not be approved to a glaring error in the assessment report provided. I point you to page 9 of the report, section 5A3, in relation to the State Environmental Planning Policy Infrastructure. Paragraph 2 of this section indicates that the site is located on the southern side of Trafalgar Street and faces the two-storey Rail Corp training facility located on the northern side of Trafalgar Street rather than the rail line. This is clearly incorrect as the site faces directly onto Trafalgar Street and the rail corridor. The assessment would therefore appear to have been undertaken at least in part on the wrong site. As a result of, or in addition to this error, the council, as a consent authority, does not appear to have followed due process as required by clauses 85 and 86 of the legislation, so the DA must therefore be rejected due to non-compliance with the requirements of the legislation. Furthermore, the acoustic report provided with the application clearly shows that noise levels measured on the site are above the levels quoted in clause 87. So the legislation again indicates that the consent authority must not grant consent to the development unless satisfied that appropriate measures will be taken. The acoustic report provided contains a long list of measures required to attempt to comply with clause 87, but none of these measures appear to have been included in the plan submitted as part of the DA. As long-term Stanmore residents will be able to tell you, noise abatement of building is a very significant process and would likely add several hundred thousand dollars to the budget. In addition to that, I will just provide a few comments in the limited time I'll have available. It's clearly inappropriate, as has been raised by speakers before me. There are many concerns in the local community in relation to the project for a number of reasons. The assessment report has dismissed most of these concerns, but has provided little or no evidence to support the dismissal of the concerns of residents, and has taken a very narrow focus on what planning approval is all about, and is therefore manifestly inadequate. The DA describes the retreat as being suitable for the treatment of drug and alcohol addiction, and yet there are no details whatsoever on the program for the treatment of any drugs apart from alcohol. There is no mention of any medical or healthcare professional being on site at any time, or even available on call. There are no details on the likelihood of successful treatment outcomes, simply that being holed up in a retreat for 30 days and attending a few meetings is likely to successfully treat the addiction like some sort of magic bullet. Research that I have read suggests 6 to 12 months is an appropriate time frame for treating people addicted to drugs and alcohol, and yet there is very little on follow-up programs upon completion of the 30-day stint in the retreat.
Get to your end, Mr.
Okay. Barrett. It is indeed a sad indictment of the current flawed development approval process in New South Wales that such an inappropriate proposal could make it to this stage of the process. But it is clear that the DA is seeking to expose an unfortunate loophole in the current legislation in relation to the provision of affordable rental housing in New South Wales. For the reasons I've outlined earlier, the DA must be rejected due to the failure to comply with the requirements of SET Infrastructure 2007. Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? Yeah. Question, the next person I call is Maria Kritsotakis. Oh, this is same. Kritsotakis, yes, thank you. This is 2-1.
Good afternoon. 140 households objected to this proposed facility, yet Council dismissed most of our concerns as unsubstantiated. We put great effort into our submissions and supported our statements with current research and evidence. There has been more concern given to the trees and heritage listing of this property and more trust being placed on the social impact report completed by Mark Sargent, who is not of the local area, than the genuine and legitimate concerns of the people who live here. An attitude of complete dismissal has been evident from the word go from the applicants. When I went to introduce myself in a neighbourly manner, as I live next door, I was naturally shocked to hear that 20 drug and alcohol affected people would be moving in every month. That is 240 drug and alcohol affected people that my young children will be exposed to every year. To my surprise, one of the directors, Diane Young, turned around, looked me straight in the eye in an intimidating manner and said, "Too bad, we're moving in." There has never been any real community consultation in over a year, as has been claimed. We as residents and objectors were given less than 7 days by council to prepare for this panel meeting, and I know for a fact that some councillors, such as Julie Passos, who has been outspoken about these types of facilities, were not notified. That is not right. Just because these directors are a powerful group of professional people does not mean we don't deserve to be consulted, heard, and our concerns addressed in a fair and equal manner. three existing windows on the side of the property look straight into my backyard, despite verbal assurances to my young son and me, who bravely approached Steve Townsend and John Malone, who promised to make the windows opaque and not open fully. The windows will be staying as they are. Broken promises to a child. If this is how they treat the local community now, how will they be if it is approved? Especially when it is not accredited by New South Wales Health, but really should be. It is now on their radar. The previous owners rented to long-term tenants that we got to know well. It is a very different thing to have long-term residents invested in the community, occasionally glancing into your backyard, as opposed to 20 new drug and alcohol-affected persons every 30 days, peering into the yard, staring at my children, possibly with criminal records, as the facility does not exclude those with prior offences. And aren't illicit drugs illegal? These people will be so close due to the less than 1 metre distance from window to yard that they could reach out and touch my family. I'm concerned about the effects of passive smoking out of the windows and also concerned about the mental health of these residents. We received a letter supporting the proposal, and even these supporters openly acknowledge that mental health issues and drug and alcohol addiction go hand in hand. Drug-induced psychosis can occur up to 2 weeks after detox, and the condition that they only need to be alcohol and drug-free for 72 hours is ludicrous. It is negligent. Oh, I'm nearly there. It is negligent and putting neighbours at real risk when proper resources are not in place and risks have not been eliminated. And I will not let my children become victims. And in my last paragraph, I just wanted to say that this facility, they have not established a need for this facility. It has actually been placed at temptation's door. We've got so many things against us in Trafalgar Street and the surrounding area that it really is not going to do the residents good anyway. Basically, it's essentially a commercial enterprise they're trying to establish here. Thank you.
There's at least one question. There's at least one question. No further questions. Dimitrios Karabatsos. Are you related to George?
Yes.
You both got the same point to make?
Probably. Different things. So, good afternoon, everybody. I'm the owner of 225 Trafalgar Street property. So I am object to this proposal. I ask the panel to think of the local community and the young families. I come to this country to provide a good life for my family. Why should my child have to live next to this and me put at risk, waiting for something to happen before something is done about it? The council needs to guarantee to me and my family is safe and not at risk. This proposal does not guarantee the safety of my family and neighbours. I don't want 20 people next door to my children that have only been off drugs and alcohol for 72 hours. We know what can happen. This is wrong and unsafe. Thank you very much.
My name is George. I'm 13 years of age. I live right next door. I'm very concerned about the windows that look into my backyard, and I am worried that someone could be watching me when I play basketball or throw something from the windows. I used to know the neighbours next door and grew up with them, but there are going to be so many people over the year who have had serious problems and may still have ongoing problems. I won't feel safe playing in my own garden, and I'd never want my little sister to play in the garden on her own again. I'm worried about smoking through the windows into our garden and the effects of it too. I won't feel safe walking to school anymore, even knowing that there are 20 ex-drug addicts living there who may have mental health issues and can still have episodes, because people can have reactions even after detoxing. I worry about the stories about the innocent people who get killed by ICE addicts and people suffering mental illness, and there is no one qualified to look after these residents properly and to deal with these things. I feel my life and family's lives will be in danger. It's really going to affect how we live, and I want to move because of this. Thank you.
Thank you for your assistance. Any questions? No questions? Yes, there is. Your question.
My microphone keeps turning off. Just your address. Where do you live?
225 also. Thank you. Chris and Caroline Kritsitakis.
I hope it's a double act. Thank you. You might need to press the button to get a red light. You got
yes,
a red
I have.
Light?
Thank you. Yes.
You're on. Go.
Okay. My name's Carolyn Kritsitakis, and this is my husband, Christos Kritsitakis. We've lived in the area for over 15 years, and my family live next door to this proposal that's about to hopefully not take place. I fear for my children and my grandchildren, and I think for the area it's not appropriate. What am I going to say? You say something.
It's all right.
Yeah, I know. So just trying to gather my thoughts. I'm sorry. I didn't have anything written down. Thank you. Thank you. As I said, I fear for my grandchildren and my children living next to people who are suffering with these addictions. And it has been on the news about people who are ice addicts who lash out at innocent people. And I don't want those innocent people to be my family or the residents who live nearby, or anyone for that matter. So I think this is not a facility that should be in that area. There's no parking. There's not enough parking there for residents, let alone 20 other people. And hopefully you will see the light and not recommend this proposal.
Thank you for your assistance.
Thank you.
You sit down first. My name's...
Oh, you wish to speak separately?
Yeah, can I? Thank you, so I won't take long.
Thank you.
Yeah, my name's Christos Kritsitakis. you mentioned before noise pollution. The council's going to look into it. What about the fear pollution for us grandparents, parents live, our grandkids, which are my grandkid George and Helen... Other little kids live near the area, especially my grandkids live right next door. Well, like my grandson say, the window is half a meter away from his backyard. Very often, whatever happened, I want that window closed completely that side. Whatever happened, you approve it or not. Because that's not fair, little kids, to play in the backyard and have the fear of those people throwing something down, a syringe or whatever, bottle. I live in Newtown, I have business in Newtown, four different businesses for the last 30 years. I know these people. I had a car fire business. I used to have the detectives hanging around my car fire because McDonald's used to be next door on King Street so they could get the suppliers of drugs. Who's going to look after this? Undercover police used to look after the place there. Who's going to look after that place there if drug addicts go in there right next door to my kids? Anyway, I hope you understand some things. So my English is not very good, but I got the fear of my kids and my grandkids. And you got to do something about that wall. You approve it or not, you got to shut the wall up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mimi on.
Good afternoon. My name is Mimi. I used to live in 1/2 on Trafalgar Street. I'm the owner of the property right next door to 223 Trafalgar Street. I'm an architect myself, and I have looked through these plans and that there are a lot of lack of information, and it makes our building and the neighbouring building very unsafe. I think this is not a residential development, even though it's under low R2 residential zone. It's purely a commercial premise. My concern in regards to the environmental impact and health issue for the neighbours and ourselves is very paramount. I don't think the development assessment report has addressed or understand in depth of how this commercial kitchen exhaust and noise can affect neighbour greatly. I noticed that council has put a condition regarding there should not be no plant equipment on the roof. However, where is it? Where is it going to put? How is it going to affect us? What sort of acoustic measure are you going to put into place? And this needs to be consult with the community, and until we are happy with what sort of equipment they are putting in, I object this. And also, there is no tradeways or grease arrestor for this commercial facility. Council hasn't picked up any of that. In terms of the waste, we live 221 Trafalgar Street. We have three general waste, two recycle, and then two green waste. So the council said, okay, to put in additional two more instead of five. So there are seven. It's exactly the number as what we have. Next door neighbour, where about we've got 10 people. So this is 20 people. They're cooking for lunch, cooking for dinner. And that what council proposed and on the plans is not enough for us. It's not managed well. Another thing is the visual privacy. So I live in 221 Trafalgar Street. My neighbours are the closest one, number two and number four. And that window W04 on the ground floor plan is 900 from the boundary. It doesn't have any screen at all. So they can look across up to number two and number four and number two backyard on ground floor. Again, they have this communal area, dining area and outdoor pavement area. There is no screen whatsoever shown on the drawing, and the council didn't pick that up and just let it go. And visual privacy is very important for the neighbours. Another thing is the overshadowing. The council actually only noted that house 3 and 5 on Martin Street. It's actually my neighbour's Nicole. Her only backyard is actually overshadowed by this office building, which is two-storey, in the afternoon. And it hasn't been all picked up at all. So this is the lack of assessment and assumption by the council. So you really need to understand how actual neighbours and actual people living there is suffering for the long term. Screening of admission, again. Screening of admission, again, is not a proper... Council mentioned that this is not a medical facility, but the qualification of the staff has not been defined, and we can't trust that it is a proper management. And if it's not proper management, this is not going to be successful, and nobody's going to be treated well, so it's not a benefit to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Question. Hello. Are you... Your criticism about shadows, that was to the rear yard of 221?
That's right.
Right, thank you.
It's actually on the shadow diagram. It's actually on the shadow diagram, 3 p.m. It's that existing shadow, and it doesn't put any new shadow there. So that was a mistake that the council didn't pick it up. Just let it go. So I'm very unhappy with that. Yeah.
Nick Gormley.
Well, firstly, I guess one of the concerns that a lot of the residents have is that this is a done deal and that what we're going through here is mere process, and we would like assurance that this panel is in fact disinterested, objective, and will make a ruling based on what it hears today, rather than having been subjected to influences from external to here anyway.
The inherent nature of the panel, Mr. Gormley, let me assure you.
What is the inherent nature of the panel?
Independent.
Independent, thank you very much, sir.
It's the very point of the system. One
of the things that we found, many of us found offensive, intellectually offensive, was the responses that were included in section 5F of the DAR. If one was to look at them, not having any knowledge of this subject at all, and not having any interest in it whatsoever, you would think that it had been written by, at best, a lazy bureaucrat, and at worst, somebody who was obviously not doing any research. There's an absolute paucity of intellectual rigour in those responses, and we would ask that Section 5F be looked at again by the panel in that light. As to parking, we all know, those of us who live there, that it's damned near impossible to get a parking spot for the residents that are there now. Oh, incidentally, I'm sorry, I should have started. My name is Nick Gormley. I live at 269 Stanmore Road. I have three children, ages 9, 7 and 6, attending Stanmore Public School. One thing that didn't come through from any of the stuff that I've read is the propensity to criminal activity amongst those that are substance-dependent people or alcohol-dependent people. Research, and I won't quote you the authorities here, that was the job of those who were doing this research on the council to look at, but it's higher than 50%, particularly amongst drug-dependent people. The recidivism rate, as most of us will also know, is 48.4%, I think, if we want to be accurate. So those who have committed crime whilst under the influence of drugs are 50% likely to reoffend. And that's just a reality. We are going to see an increase in petty crime. Yeah. Okay. The rate of lapsing of alcoholics is somewhere between 60 and 80%. We all know this. This is just fact. And any research, pick up anything from any authoritative literature and you'll find that. Amongst drug-dependent people, it is of the order of 50, 60%. Please, please do not pat us on the head and treat us like we're simpletons and tell us that everything's all right, these are clean people. These people are likely to slide off the wagon. And we live with our kids in this neighbourhood and we want to keep it safe. I'm afraid I've run out of time, is that correct? Did I hear that? Thank you very much.
Done. Thank you. Please bear with me. I'm nervous and I've been scribbling so I don't repeat what the others have said. My name is Dr. Annabel Palaiologos. I've worked in a clinic in Stanmore for 11 years. I'm part of the Stanmore Business Association and I live eight houses from this residence and I walk my primary school aged children past this house multiple times each day. My two main points are about the plan of management and the long-term community engagement communication. And also, in the plan of management, the lack of acknowledgement of the mental health issues, assistance, and drug relapses and psychosis afterwards. I'll skip through quickly, bear with me now. The plan of management, my main one, is the complaints handling. They've basically pat us on the head and said, we have a phone line that we will deal with issues. But when you go down to the very end of it, it says that they claim the breach can process can be enforced through ordinary processes. But please explain what this ordinary process is. It is too vague a final sentence and allows them to dismiss our complaints as they occur. Make no mistake, this is a commercially run premises, but they use residential regulations when they want. One example is the smoking in Section 5F, when they basically said that their patients or the people visiting have the right of civil liberties to smoke. Instead of acknowledging our concerns as residents of passive smoke, a known carcinogen, and the neighbouring families will be affected. It's too vague a document and we just don't feel comfortable with the management process at this time. I'm skipping right forward now. To my second point, we all know drugs are changing rapidly. We've seen ice change. We did not predict that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We don't know what the future drugs will be. We don't know what the withdrawal time will be or how it's going to process. The 72 hours is not good enough for me to feel comfortable. If I look at just the Drug and Alcohol Foundation regarding amphetamines or ice, a come down can include headaches, paranoia, hallucinations, confusion, irritability, mood swings, and depression. Long-term use leads to anxiety, paranoia, depression, increased risk of stroke and social problems. Withdrawal can happen over a number of weeks. Restless sleep, we have the planes overhead. Nightmares, we have the planes overhead. Anxiety, depression and paranoia. There's a train line out the front which they can observe, and then once again we have noise. The admission and acceptance procedure is too vague for my comfort. It basically says we will assess them, and I don't feel comfortable with that they will be, that the staff, the volunteer staff will be under the same regulations as normal employees who will know the plan of management and agree to abide by its procedures. I struggle with the day-to-day running. We would like to feel comfortable moving forward, but we feel they are not, they are unregulated. Thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for taking the time.
Any questions? No? Thank you, Doctor, for your assistance. Matt Yeldum. Thank you, Mr. Yeldum.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I live at 221 Trafalgar Street on the other side of the property, next door to the site of the proposed drug and alcohol rehabilitation facility with my partner and child. We've lived there for 11 years since our son was born. The entire length of our first floor home, that 7 out of 9 windows faces the site, and our young son's bedroom window opens directly onto the courtyard at the centre of the property. A family directly underneath us mirrors our arrangement, and their daughter's window opens onto the courtyard. Look, I'm very much in support of the treatment facilities for addiction and in no way seek to deny the needs of individuals in need of help or ostracise them from the community. But the matter is that this property is far from being an appropriate site for such an institution. The proposed facility is modelled on one running in the US, as you've heard. The promotional video on the website shows a peaceful, spacious parkland and forest setting, a far cry from 223 Trafalgar Street, which is surrounded by houses containing young families and exposed to constant road, train and aeroplane noise. I question that the heart of a high-density residential area is the best choice for such a facility. I rebut the Council's social planner's statement that the social impact comment, quote, satisfactorily addresses the substantive concerns expressed by residents in relation to the potential impacts of the site's redevelopment and program's future operation, end quote. From the perspective of the community members residing on all sides of the property, many of our concerns have not been satisfactorily addressed, and, as others have said, the plan of management is wholly insufficient to deal with this sort of facility. The proposed facility would have 25 residents on site 24/7 for a maximum of 30 days. This is 240 people per year, as you've heard. How would that not affect our lives and the amenity of our homes? How would the operators be able to ensure that our community is not adversely affected by the injection of a high turnover facility in the middle of our families? The technical denial that our visual and acoustic privacy would be adversely affected is well and good, but it's only logical that this large and permanent concentration of people just a few metres away from our windows will have an inevitable impact on us. The applicants have made no genuine attempt to engage the local community in dialogue over their proposal. They've done nothing to try to alleviate our concerns over the operation of such a facility and the potential issues that may arise as a result of having vulnerable people fighting serious addiction around our homes. I'm not suggesting that participants in the proposed program would be dangerous, but given the volatile nature of addiction recovery and the high turnover of people in the facility, what preemptive measures would be taken to ensure the safety of the children living in surrounding properties, as well as children walking past on their way to and from school? If the application is not rejected, the plan of management would have to be completely reviewed with input from surrounding residents to satisfy the concerns of the community. Please weigh up the permissibility of the proposal with the genuine concerns of the members of the community that would come into direct contact with this facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Yeldham. Christine Bolstad. Thank you.
Okay, am I on air? Sorry if this is a bit, I've been listening to the conversations. I'm a clinical psychologist. I'm one of the people that the program suggests would refer to them. I would not refer to this program based on clinical evidence. And I would not recommend to local GPs to refer to this program. I fully accept the speaker about we should incorporate these kind of services into our areas, but this service is not commercial. And the main point for me as a clinical psychologist who treats people with these kinds of illnesses is that it is not in the interest of the client, let alone the resident. And that is not being actually said here. It is not in the interest of these clients. If they are, and I won't bore you too much with the details, but if they are 72 hours so-called sober or drug-free of other chemicals, they are not detoxed. If they are coming off alcohol, they are still in risk of a heart attack or a stroke. They need medical attention. They need Valium administered to them. They need their blood pressure and temperature taken every 4 hours to ensure they do not die. This is not addressed because it is commercial. And so I'm also asking, what is the testing? CDT, carbohydrate deficiency interim testing, is the only way of ensuring that someone has not been abusing alcohol for at least 2 weeks or more. You can do a urine test for most drugs, but it only lasts for 2 days. So if you're saying 72 hours, I'm saying it's not appropriate. It's not, this is not a transition. This is a rehab, and a rehab needs psychiatric nurses and doctors and psychiatrists and psychologists. And they haven't said they're giving these clients this. So I have a real concern for the clients, not just the residents, and that is not being raised here.
Not a planning issue.
I would not refer to this.
Thank
and
you.
I would encourage people not to.
Thank you, Doctor. Yes. Ms. Bolstad, could you just tell me where Aubrey Street is in relation to the facility?
Kind of behind it, 8 Aubrey, right behind it.
Thank you.
Parallel, that's the word. Thank you.
Parallel. Sephora Amanatiadis.
I had nothing to do with planning.
Hello, my name's Sephora. I'm talking on behalf of my family, myself. And we're concerned with the volume of people proposed for the confined space and
Sephora,
how this
can I just interrupt?
Sorry.
We don't have an address for you.
243 Trafalgar Street.
Trafalgar. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. The volume of people proposed for the confined space and how this will affect the flow of traffic on the roads and in and out of the facilities. There is a large brick wall currently obstructing visibility to and from the driveway. Myself, my toddler in a pram, and my young children walk to and from the local school, and we have to walk to the very edge of this driveway to have visibility into the property to see if we are in danger from any vehicle exiting. Vehicles exiting the driveway will need to creep out to see past the parked cars which block road visibility. These vehicles might be there for some time as the flow of traffic, being a main road, is heavy. Whilst waiting to enter traffic, the driveway would be blocked with no safe access point for pedestrians to walk to their destination. Several primary school-aged children walk past this property, unaccompanied by adults, while walking to and from school. Some of these children are responsible for the younger siblings. They have to navigate traffic conditions as well as pedestrian traffic. The noise on Trafalgar Street, situated on a train line, under a flight path, on a very busy road, is unrelenting. Such noise could trigger people's anxiety and is not conducive to therapeutic healing. There is also no green space on the property to offer serenity or moments of meditation. Does this mean that patients will seek this space at the two local parks, which are very popular with the community's children, including the daycare and preschool services being run by the council? There doesn't appear to be any security staff nor medical staff to treat the patients. If the facility's personnel largely relies on volunteers, what is the backup plan if there aren't enough volunteers for the day or night shifts? With parking becoming scarce for the residents, where will the additional parking be available for the staff and patients? It is very good to say that the organisation is encouraging the use of public transport, but do they honestly expect their own staff to walk to the local bus shelter or train station at night? Does this development give green light for other hotels to be developed in the area? Because this is effectively saying there is a rezoning going ahead. This may run as a hostel, as it is a commercial property, but its operation of short-term lease, catering and linen services classify it as a hotel. I take it that the council will not have issue with several of our own residences turning them into short-term, not-for-profit hotels. My last point, sorry. There are several boarding houses and methadone clinics already in the area. If this is an issue of saying that not in our backyard, well, it's too late. It's already in our backyard and none of us are complaining about it. The issue is the property and the appropriateness of housing such a facility. If we're looking at helping people with mental health and drug addiction, then perhaps we should stop selling off our public housing and invest in that instead. Thank you.
Any questions from Ms. Anna-Barbie? No questions. Thank you, Ms.
You did?
No. Thank you, Ms. Amanita-Diadis. Peter Clark.
Thank you, panel. My name is Peter Clark and I have resided at 229 Trafalgar Street for over 30 years, so I do know the area fairly well. Along with more than 140 of my neighbours who objected to this development, we believe that the council planners would take into account our concerns. I don't believe they've done so, and it could simply be that the planners have lacked the experience or specialist expertise to make a judgment on the merits of this development and the major impact it would have on our community. As planners are recommending approval without condition, I hope that panel members are more able to understand the many reasoned objections from our local neighbours and to reject the development as it stands. While planners have no doubt sieved through many details in the application, and no doubt much effort has gone into such as heritage matters, they fail to acknowledge the main issue, that being the disproportionate and unfair burden which this development imposes on our immediate neighbourhood. Were this development simply a residential facility for drug and alcohol rehabilitation, there would be little objection. However, the development is anything but. While it may be sponsored by a charitable organisation, it will be a commercial hostel operation offering 28-day stays for their clients who could come from potentially anywhere in Australia. this development is not targeted to our local area and the applicants have not proven any need for their operation in our local area, which already has numerous options for recovering addicts. So disingenuous are the applicants in this respect that they failed even to disclose in their application the weekly AA meetings held at the nearby Newtown Town Hall. And it would appear that the only thing which their operation will offer clients is a